Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm your host, Ellen Tang, and I'm joined by a familiar name to the show, Glenn Schultz, who is the head of agency mortgage prepayment modeling and strategy for MUFG. Today is Tuesday, June 7th. Glenn, thanks for joining us again this month.
Yes, thank you, Ellen. Nice to meet with you again.
So May remittance data showed another slowdown in mortgage prepayment rates. The Fannie 30-year prepayment rate declined 16.4% on a month-over-month basis to 23.4 CPR, and then the 15-year prepayment rate declined 12.5% on a month-over-month basis to 17.9 CPR. How do you interpret this data and the back-to-back decline in mortgage prepayments?
Yeah, Ellen, at this point, you know, we're seeing lower response from borrowers to the current mortgage rate, which is just modestly below 3%. The 30-year mortgage rate closed to April at 2.98%, March at 3.17%, and February at 2.97%. But still, that's higher than the January 2021 all-time low of 2.67%. So I think we are witnessing a transition in the structure of agency mortgage prepayments, right? So the refinance wave, it really looks like is beginning to recede, and that's sort of evidenced in the lower borrower response to what still is, you know, remarkably low mortgage rates.
But it doesn't sound like you're ready to call the end of the refinance wave.
No, I'm not, because, you know, calling the end of the refinance rate wave is really a measurement question, right? So that is, you know, what is the market measuring? So earlier this year, we discussed this concept of terminal velocity, right? The fastest prepayment speeds achievable given capacity, rates, and underwriting. And so we pass this peak prepayment speeds, these mid-50 CPRs. But in the money, prepayment rates are still high at 40, mid-40 CPRs. So in my view, we're really in the late innings of the refinance wave. So I don't really call this the end of the refinance wave, because we still have, you know, very high CPRs for in the money. You know, I'm sure some people would like to, you know, get the fact that the prepayments are beginning to slow down, and that marks the end of the refinance wave. But, you know, in my view, the refinance wave has ended once prepayment rates have really kind of normalized.
So given your view of a transition in the structure of prepayment and origination, how do you see the trends in both prepays and origination developing over the remainder of the year?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we believe that the structure of prepayment and origination will change as the mortgage market transitions from the current rate and term refinance regime. And so driving this change, you know, in the structure of each is one, strong home price appreciation, and two, limited housing supply. And I think both of those are gonna play around each other to really change the structure of originations and prepayments.
Let's talk a little bit about the home prices first. So where do you see home price appreciation through 2022? And then how will your outlook with respect to home prices influence origination?
Sure. I think home price appreciation may slow from kind of the current low teens on an annualized basis to, you know, something between 8 and 10 CPR, right? So still relatively healthy, you know, in historic terms, and that will persist, I think, through 2022. Now, as the current rate and term refinance wave abates, I think originators will begin to focus their efforts on cash out refinance activity. So what I'm saying is they will begin to focus on, you know, what are considered to be equity rich, you know, sort of homeowners, and looking for cash out refinancing. So this suggests to me that they're going to focus on the higher coupon, moderate, and seasoned production cohorts. And so I expect these cohorts to lag somewhat behind new production cohorts as prepayments slow. So that's really to say, I think these premium, moderate, and seasons will not slow as fast as the new production will slow.
And then what about the impact of limited housing supply? How do you see that playing out into 2022?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's something that people have really been been focusing on of late, right? So limited housing supply, you know, will slow the production of the purchase originations relative to the cash out originations. So right now, I think the purchase origination market is facing the dual headwinds of limited existing home supply and new construction supply. In fact, this weekend, the weekend edition of the Wall Street Journal ran an article about the reluctance of some homeowners to list their homes for sale, right? So the article, it actually cited two reasons. First, there was a concern among sort of these homeowners that, you know, as a seller, they may not be able to find a comparable property in terms of quality and amenities. And their second concern is that, you know, they would be ensnared in these sort of endless bidding wars for any home that they actually did like. So both concerns, I think, really represent the psychology of a tight and competitive housing market. And I don't think that demand for housing is going to slow anytime soon. So I suppose home prices continue to move upward against a backdrop of limited supply. Sort of that fear of missing out begins to drive demand, and that creates sort of a feedback loop in the markets. So that really means that what we're going to see is, you know, potentially, you know, sort of a 50-50 share or even a greater share of cash out refinance relative to purchase. So we may be out of the rate and term refinancing wave. We may be into sort of more normalized prepayments, but we may actually be in an environment where we see, you know, refinance share as a percentage of total origination slightly higher than we'd normally seen in sort of what we would call the normal, more normal markets, right?
So, you know, you talk about your outlook for both home prices as well as home sales. Together, do you think we are approaching another housing bubble?
You know, at this point, no. I think first, you know, existing home sales right now are around the 2000-2003 level, right? And that's kind of nowhere near where we were pre-housing bust levels. So we really don't see sort of that build up in existing home sales, and a lot of that leading up to the housing bubble were, you know, sort of flippers and speculators and those types of things. Second, there's just far less leverage in the housing sector relative to that used during the lead up to the housing bust. I mean, we still have leverage in the system, but we don't have the kind of leverage in the housing system that we had, you know, at that time. So still, I think, you know, we'll be in a tight housing market until new construction fills the gap between supply and demand. And, you know, that will take a while for new construction to sort of ramp up and sort of fill that gap. So that means that, you know, we'll have a relative shortage of housing, and then that feeds into strong home price appreciation. But I don't think that we're in a bubble. I think if we saw underwriting begin to slip significantly, the use of more leverage, those types of things, then, you know, then I think we would have to have some concern about the housing market and a potential bubble.
Thanks, Glenn. There's obviously a lot going on within this market right now. And I know myself, and I'm sure our listeners are looking forward to talking to you again next month to see what the next Speed Report brings for us. As always, thank you for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Ellen.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. You can rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.